This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employee seminar held on February 18, 2026 in Arthur, Illinois.
Well, good afternoon. Boy, do I have my work cut out, don't I? You were already sleeping this morning, and now it's the first meal, the first session after lunch. Well, we'll see what we can do. On the way out here, I was following a pickup, and on the tailgate, it was a company, and their tagline was, "Serving you as to Jesus." Serving you as to Jesus. And I was following this for a while and looking at this, and you know, if we could get that principle solidified in our mind, what they were saying is, if you do business with us, we would do whatever we would do for Jesus if he was doing business for us. That's how we would treat you. What if we could get that in our mind as we relate to our husbands, as wives, as we relate together, as owners and managers, and just treat as we would Jesus? It wouldn't matter if it was Jesus standing here or you. I would treat you the same. I think I could go home. Wouldn't have to talk any more about branding, but we're here to talk about that. Maybe before we get started, I will say I expected that this would be a Team Mennonite community, and I was not disappointed in that. I have some good memories. I worked at a farm equipment dealership right out of school, and my boss was an Amishman, very nice, born-again Amishman, very evangelistic. I appreciated him a lot. And of course, some of you folks would call in ordering parts for things. And I lived in a team community as well. I tried to hone my Pennsylvania Dutch. I was trying to put it to work. So when people would call in for parts, I would answer in English. I could understand them usually, but I would just answer in English. And usually they would switch to English when they realized it wasn't Amos that answered the phone. And one day, a gentleman called in, and he wouldn't switch. And I decided, okay, here's my chance. I guess we're going to go for it, see if I can hold up my end of the conversation. And they had the stretch phone cords and parts bins there, and I remember stretching that phone cord as far back the bins as I could possibly go. And I tried to hold up my end of the conversation, and I thought I was doing fairly well, until I turned around and saw Amos, my boss, just leaning over in laughter he was listening in, and I was done. I was just done. So, if you want to talk to me, if you talk Dutch, I'll probably answer you in English if I still understand it all. But good to be here with you all. All right. Branding starts with leadership. If you're here, part of a company, there is a brand that you are building, whether you know it or not. Hopefully your boss is communicating that with you. It may be customer service. It may be a strong impression. It may be a value impression, very concerned that customers are getting good value, maybe products and benefits. There's something that your company is doing to differentiate, to say, this is why you should do business with us. And hopefully you understand that. But there is also the light blue area where we get involved. We have horse signs in Pennsylvania. We have around a little over 40 employees. And we do logos and branding and lettering, vehicle lettering and signs and that kind of thing. So, of course, it's very important to us. We feel that is an integral part of a company brand. But they have to go together. It's a synergy there. What you're trying to be as a company internally has to be communicated with the public, what you're trying to be by how you present yourself out there, or they don't know who you're trying to be. So the company, it can be a company name, how you choose your name, logo, how much you get it out there, repetition, how consistent you are in getting it out there is all a part of branding. But what I want to point out with this slide here is if you notice the word price is there very small. A lot of people think we got to be the cheapest, and I want to say today that that is not true. I work with a lot of big companies that are getting work done, and I hear it said lots of times, We didn't go with the cheapest bid. You know why? Because they saw something in a company over here that put a bid in that was higher that they valued, and they did not quite trust the cheaper bid. So your employers would like to get to a place that it's not all about price. And that's a nice place to get to, but they need your help. They need your help if you're going to get there. You have to be a kind of company that can earn that. Now I'm going to read something that we have a little board that we post things on. It's a computer network, goes to our phones. When the install guys put up a sign, no matter how big or small, the expectation is that they take a picture and load it up to the board, and we can all see it back at the, whether in the office or in the shop, if at least if we have it on our phones, we can look and see, oh, that sign went up today, and that's a cue for the salesman to, okay, I need to bill that, and we have it as record. If a customer calls in and says, you damaged something when you were here, we can say, well, here's a picture of the site when we left. We're not seeing what you're talking about. We use it for various things, but one of the important things that that has done for us is it brought the company together as far as, oh, that project went up. Wow, that's where it went. Wow, that looks nice. The man in the shop that travailed for a whole week building this thing instantly gets to see, oh, that is it. Wow, that's nice. And the other very important thing is if the customer said anything about it, if they liked it, put it on there so that everybody can rejoice together, celebrate together, so to speak. And I had one of those moments on the way out here. I noticed something was uploaded to the board, and here the salesman had posted something. It was a completed job, an electronic message center that we put up, and the customer said, you guys are a great team. They work hard and are very efficient. The guy in charge was very nice to work with. Now, to an employer, that is music. That is music. Now, who got the credit? Well, the guys out on the job doing the install. But who all was involved in that? You know, there was a salesman. There was somebody researched for the permitting. The permits were pursued. There was a shop foreman involved. There was a secretary that likely answered the phone and got him to the right person when he needed to call in. There was a welder. There was a job check that went into it that had to come back with details so that it fit when we got out there. And maybe had to approach some of the salesmen and say, hey, this isn't holding out what you have here size-wise and what I measured on site, and work out those details. But everybody working together created a wonderful experience that customer was impressed. Now, that's a brand. That's a brand. And as you work together to build that kind of cohesion internally, then you can put that out by way of your name and logo, and it starts meaning something to people. When they see your name out there, they have this picture of this coherent team that works well together. All right? Number one key to good branding is authenticity. Be genuine or real in how you present your brand. Actively engage employees in the brand strategy. Provide them with the necessary information and tools to be effective brand ambassadors. You, as a boss, decide how you want this business to run. Do you want to be the cheapest guy out there? Then your employees need to know that. Do you want to hopefully up your game and not be the cheapest? And you don't care if some of the jobs don't come through and we don't win them all. You don't care about it. Do your employees understand that? This is where we're headed and helping you build that brand. I had one employee, was a very, very good employee, and it pained me, but we got to a place that he was listening to some naysayers and customer reports about we're more expensive than somebody else, and it just worked on him. And I was okay. We weren't going to win everything if we were going to fulfill our mission where we wanted to head with our branding. But he couldn't latch onto that, and eventually we needed to part ways. He was actually in the way of our brand being fully realized. All right, authenticity changes with your business dynamics. I don't know much about your business, so I have mine up here. What is authentic today may be off script tomorrow. I started out with that old blue truck, and it was old already when I got it. But if we want to retain good talent, do not stay stuck in the branding methods of the past. So I was a one-man shop with brushes, paint brushes, and paint, and a one-person team, and that was my logo. basically a drawing of the back of the truck. But it was authentic. It was who I was. I was freelance, and many artists didn't have a good reputation back then of being dependable. I wanted to be a dependable one. But other than that, it represented one-man band, maybe a little happy-go-lucky, possibly, but it worked for starting out. But then as my business evolved, it became computerized. We started doing work on computers, and the everything was modernizing. Remember, this was 40-some years ago. And we changed the logo to try and stay true to what was current at the time, so that when we go out and we hand that business card, that it actually presents, this is a company we want to be. We are up to date. We are not a dated company. We can help you. And they can, by looking at that card, say, wow, yeah, you guys are onto it. We want to do business with you. And it's not all about price. It's already, when you presented that business card and you had a reputation already backing you up, it works in harmony together. And then there came the day that my branding team said, we need to switch this around. We always had the word signs as being the biggest word, because that's what we do. But eventually we became known as Horst. Now, if I would name the business today, I wouldn't name it after me. That's one mistake I feel I made. But we made the word signs smaller. And it took me a little bit to let that grow onto me, but really that's the place we were at. The larger companies that are looking to us for service that we now can service, that's the kind of feel that they are used to seeing, where it's the name that's out there and what you do is in smaller letters. You're an established company, it communicates that. All right, another key is clear guidelines. Companies should establish clear guidelines for their employees and communication on any platform, make sure it's uniform, and that the employees know what it's supposed to. This is our part of our branding guide. We have our PMS colors that we can give to a printer, and we have ways that it can go on various pieces of equipment, so that if we get the next piece of equipment, the person in the shop knows about how we would like it to look or where we want it to go. Employee engagement. Employees should be required to conduct themselves in ways that give credence to an authentic brand. So to you employees out there, don't be the guy on the right with the X. Fit into what your boss is wanting to do, the image he's trying to create. Now, I'm speaking from a platform that we are Christian business people. We are honoring God in what we're trying to do. I'm not speaking from a perspective otherwise. But when your boss is trying to create that brand and wants the company to be featured in this way, and with these parameters, from how you greet the people to how you fast you follow up with leads to how you're dressed to, please engage with him. Unite to form an image that goes out there that people, when they think of your company, they think of a well-greased wheel that just looks like there's a lot of harmony there. It doesn't look like the one installer's coming looking like the guy on the right, and one's coming looking like the guy on the left. One has his hat on backwards. No, look professional. Or however, if your boss wants you to look cheap and you're supposed to let your one bib overall hang down, I guess that's up to him. But if that's what he wants, that's his model, I guess then if you can stand it, you better go for it. I don't know. But be unified in what you're trying to do, what your boss is trying to do. All right, the five pillars to branding a company. The number one is purpose. Why do we choose the brand for our company? Communicate that. Make sure your employees understand the why. If you don't understand the why, ask your boss. What is the why for your company? Why did we choose this? Positioning. Where does this place us among our competition? Like I said, whether you don't want to be the cheapest necessarily, but you want to be the best. Well, how are you going to be the best? Get together on that. This is our goals. These are some things we're not going to compromise because we want to be the best. Our competition might do it, but we're going to pass up this job. We're okay with that. It don't meet our criteria. Personality. How do we want people to feel when they see our brand? Are we a happy-go-lucky company? Are we a bold, daring company? Or that can be communicated. We're not going to go into that psychology of logos very much. Perception. How do we want people to perceive us when they see our brand? by what we hand to them in that business card, by how we designed our logo, the brochures, the flyers they get in the mail, when they look at that, what perception do they have of the company? Would they feel that you are as large of a company as they are? Or would they feel like, oh, this is a little company that probably can't service me. They don't even have a logo. I doubt that they can. They have a perception. People, you instantly have perceptions by what you see when you do not know a company. Make sure that it's being communicated who you are. Are you a little company? Are you a big company? Promotion. How do we want to get this brand out into the public eye? There are, some of the churches have rules in social media and those things. We won't use that, but we will use this. Get behind whatever your company is wanting to do. Get behind it, support it, get it out by whatever means is possible. And you can use, every team member must understand the reason behind our brand to ensure that the brand is successful. The beauty of the ship, a brand cannot stand alone. The beauty of a brand is a synergy of many moving parts. Some parts we see their beauty, get recognized, some are just as important, but below the waterline. Now, we heard of the negativity of the iceberg below the waterline, but I'd like to tell you another story. I had a brother-in-law in Maryland who bought a property, and on that property there was a sailboat that was needing restoration, but the owner died before he ever got it restored. So, wonderful brother-in-law he is, he invited us to help cut up this sailboat because he wasn't going to restore it. And I was surprised we got to the bottom of this thing. Talk about hard work cutting up a sailboat. Those things are put together, believe me. But at the bottom, there was this long, heavy weight of something. And I'm like, what is this? And I discovered, well, that's a ballast. It's just a long, ferociously heavy piece down at the bottom. Well, when you have mass up in the air that high, you need something to stabilize it at the bottom. It just never really entered my mind how much weight that would take. But the same is true in our work. People see what's above the water, but you all are doing different things in your company. Some of you maybe have a desk that you sit behind all day. You're not in public eye very much. You might be the CFO, the chief financial officer, that you feel like the ballast at the bottom of the boat. The boss is his visionary, dreaming up the next stuff. His sails are sticking up top, and if it wouldn't be for you, he'd go under, and it might be true. But as you work in harmony, you create a beautiful piece that the public looks at and sees and is enamored by and says, I'd like to do business with that company. They see sails that are full. They don't see patches all over the sails. They see a beautiful, what looks like a beautiful company to do business with. What we present collectively and how we navigate business creates a perspective of who we are as a company. A couple bad actors can destroy a brand. I just had a lawn care company tell me recently how rough of a year they had last year because one of their employees was not living up to the specs. They were not treating the customers' lawns the way they were supposed to. And unknowns to them, they were starting to pull out. He said, I realize what was up. He said, it was too late. He called and tried to renegotiate things, but yeah, the customers were sick of it. He said, we lost money. He said, we were driving around with the same trucks, the same equipment, the same mowers, but we only had however many properties anymore. And we say, well, that was bad management. Well, when you go out on the road, your boss can't follow you. When you're talking with that customer, you are responsible to make sure that you are honoring what is expected. Even if you want to get home quickly and you have plans for the evening, you are responsible to represent the company and make sure, do your best to make sure that everything is taken care of before you step out. Because you represent the company. You're the boat that's above the water. You're what people look at and say, wow, who mows their lawn over there? They do a nice job. Or they're looking at it saying, boy, whoever mowed that lawn, I'm not going to give them a call. You make or break the brand of your company. I had a gentleman in my shop just yesterday. We talked for quite a while. He owns a company, and he had a salesman that was not following up on the leads that came through. They had paid advertising going out. There was protocol he was supposed to be following up, and he wasn't. Until they caught on and called after some of these customers, like, oh, well, we didn't get a return call, so we moved on. No. If you know what your boss is expecting of you, make it happen. These things cost. And you won't have a coherent company if you're going to each do how you feel at the moment. Take your brand forward. If you want to be known for returning calls within X amount of time, make sure that happens. If that's part of your brand, make sure it's happening. Make sure you're not the holdup. What do we deduct or perceive when we gaze at this picture of a boat? So if I did not know anything about that vessel at all, but I'm looking for a shipping company to send product overseas, what would I assume as I look at that boat? There's no tears in the sails. Everything looks to be in fine form. I would assume that he has some very nice employees, just a well-oiled wheel in his company. And I would probably assume that my cargo would be safe on that ship. They would be a trustworthy place to put my cargo. People are visual. People are watching us. Just like that I read at the beginning, my installers were being watched. And they made a lot of deductions that maybe we weren't even worthy of, but they made those deductions based on what they saw. What is the name on the boat? We can't really see it, can we? Brand perception precedes engagement. When people are don't know your company from Adam, what they see is what they're going to go on. It's all they have to go on. And we need to be holding forth what our company is supposed to be so they get an accurate representation. All right, can you chart your identity by branding? All right, when we design a logo, there's a lot, I'm not going to go into this very deep at all, but just a little bit here for y'all. You see those logos at the bottom. There's the all cleaning services that I just pulled off the internet, just for examples. What would you expect if you said, I'm going to call Jan Pro? What would you expect if you were going to call Leah's Cleaning Company? What type of clientele do you think would call one or the other? If I was an old lady that was a bit lonely, but just getting to the point I can't do my house cleaning anymore, I would probably say, Leah's Cleaning Company looks like a nice place to call. They look pretty happy. They'll probably be talkative and cheer me up while they're here. I believe I'm going to call them. Maybe if I was a businessman and had a commercial property, I would say, well, that Jan Pro, that looks like they probably got a team. They could come in here and get that done in short order. It looks like it might be a bigger company. Now, we don't know, but we have a perception. And whatever you design as a logo helps to give the person a perception about your company. Imagine your brand as a character and think how you might describe it to a friend. What type of company do you want to be? You can communicate that a lot with your logo. Does your brand wear crazy bold colors and socks with sandals, or does your brand only dress formally and drink ethical cold brew? Depends what you're making. You want your logo to look fun because you want to attract people that that would be a fun thing to do. It looks like a fun company to deal with while we're doing it. And you can communicate that a lot by your logo right out of the gate. Your brand's visual identity should feel human and relatable to the type of clientele you want to attract. You think of what for company you want, who is going to be your ideal clientele, And you hone your brand in to try and attract that particular class of people, that particular wage scale of people, whatever you're going after. You have to have that identified, and we won't go into that in this talk. All right. What would you perceive or expect from this company by evaluating their logo? Here again, this is one I just pulled off offline. But if you were... you had no idea. You just need a cleaning company. You don't know where to go, and nobody referred you. You didn't talk to anybody that has. You're just looking. Or maybe a flyer came in the mail, and here comes this clean tech. What if you met them at a show, or you saw a post, or you got an ad in the mail? What would you expect? Company size? Would you say it's a little company, medium-sized company, bigger company, possibly? You think maybe they're corporate, or think it's a single ownership, mom and pop? What's their service type? How professional are they? Are they over the top? Are they high end? Are they cheap? There's so much. Our antennas are out as we evaluate companies that we don't know by what little information we have. And it's an art to try and get it right that you're meeting the type of people that you really, really want. And you have to listen to what for feedback you get after you do your ads. What did the person say? I got your flyer in the mail and thus. And either, your flyer did the job well, or, okay, they got the wrong impression. Maybe we need to alter something here. All right, but what if you saw that logo and you finally say, you know what, I think I'm going to call them. I believe they're a sizable company. I believe they might be good. And they arrive and they want to give you a quote, and here comes the truck in the driveway. It says CleanTech, doesn't it? It's the same logo that was on that you saw. But you walk past the window of the truck, and you see how the dash looks, and they're coming to clean your house. I know some businesses that struggle really hard to get their install people, their on-the-road people, to have a truck that looks like it's humane and can be lived in. That shouldn't be. In Anabaptist culture especially, that shouldn't be. We should be out there showing a brand of competence and cleanliness and keeping our... It doesn't mean we have to drive around in brand new vehicles, but they can be nice, they can be maintained, they can be kept up as part of our marketing. All right, every employee is a salesman. You are a window into the heart of your company. You are whatever your company's name is. I remember at a business place, there was a speaker there, pep talk, so to speak, and he was drilling in, you are, and he drilled in the company's name. And one of the workers after that I saw written in the door out in the shop in the dust on the door that we are, and they wrote the name of their company. Now maybe they should have cleaned the door first instead of doing that, but at least they got who they are, all right? But there's a holistic approach to all this. Now the reason I have a car here, you ultimately become the company in a customer's mind. I'm a part owner of Horse Signs, but when people think of Horse Signs anymore, they don't really think of me. In fact, I'm that old, they ask me if I'm still part of the company. I guess they probably look too old to work there anymore. I don't know. But excellence in professionalism and appearance is imperative because you are what people are evaluating. They're saying, that is the company. That's it, right there. I saw him working here. That is whatever your company name is. And the reason I have this car here and the little man running after it, I had a brother-in-law who worked for a spray material company, and they took on to shorten their hours some. They wanted to give their employees more home time. So on a Saturday, they backed it up from 12 o'clock closing to 11:30, but they would put stuff outside. Like if you called in, they would put it outside. They tried to keep that a very open arrangement. But my brother-in-law worked there, and one Saturday morning, he was leaving just sometime after 11:30. He pulled around the back of the building, and he saw the taillights leaving of a vehicle that he recognized as one of their customers. And he was like, oh no, did I forget to put something out? And it bothered him what they might want or if they got what they wanted. And he followed them to the first red light, put it in park, got out, and ran up beside the car, hammered on the window, and he said, did you get what you were after? No, we forgot you closed at 11:30. We forgot about that. We didn't call in. We just needed a quart of spray material to finish the last 28 acres or whatever it was. And he said, well, come back. I'll get you a quart. Really? They followed him back. And he just told me that story years later. He says, now it's a second generation of that farm. They are so loyal to the company that you almost don't have to sell them anything. It's just like whatever you recommend, they're ready to go for it. Because of one man that was willing to go out of his way and make sure that there was good service, even if it was after hours, and he had every right to go home and enjoy his family time, because that's partially why they were closing early anyway. But he did it, and he gained loyalty by doing that, and it represented who they wanted to be very well. Every employee's attention to detail and sacrifice to meet a customer's needs will enhance a company brand and increase sales beyond what a salesman can do on his own. The salesmen in your company are suffering from how you're doing your job. It's the long and short of it. If they can do the best job at sales, but if they don't have a good team following up and getting the product out to the way they spec'd it out, it hurts them in the next sale. A big part of branding happens with customer interaction. Service quality. Employees directly interacting with customers must embody the brand's values. Positive, professional, and helpful behavior that enhances the brand image. Problem resolution. How you go about solving problems is very important. How employees handle challenges and complaints can significantly impact customer loyalty and the brand's reputation. And we heard some about that already this morning. Cultural representation. Some of you might feel like doing that right now, but don't. Company culture advocates. Happy and engaged employees showcase a positive work environment, attracting top talent and reflecting well on the brand. Now, I put a picture of the guy sleeping there, but as an employer, how you handle yourself will make hiring new people harder or easier. It will. When you marry into a family. And a wise courtship evaluates from that premise, because you know you're not just marrying this individual. There's a package that does come with it. Not quite as closely, but it is part of the package. You marry into extended family. And hopefully you're thinking wisely about that. But an employee who is looking for a job, if they're doing their job, they will read the room as well. When your boss is taking them through the shop, taking them on a tour, their antennas are up. They are looking at you. How engaged are you? The other employees are looking at you. We have one employee right now that I'm not sure how we're going to do it. He's taking care of a child. We want to be gracious. But he can fall asleep very easily at his desk. He needs to figure out a way to somehow find a way to, because that's demoralizing to the rest of the employees. He's getting paid the same as I am, and he's sitting there sleeping. No, help build the brand. You want to look like a competent company when people are around, and to your fellow employees. Employees maintaining a professional demeanor and upholding company standards in all interactions is imperative. Living the brand values, aligned with and exhibit the company's values, help reinforce its authenticity. Be a brand ambassador. Now, we know that word of mouth is the best possible. Customers telling customers about you is the best possible advertising you can get. We won't argue that. But employees sharing their experiences about the company with friends and family and on social media, if you have that, influencing public perception is very valuable to an employer. I like when I see my employees post pictures of some jobs that we're doing or whatever. It tells me that, number one, they are enjoying their work and they're trying to help get our name out there so that hopefully more work comes in when people realize our capabilities. And you can play a part in that. Companies can market by sending their brand along to events and by sponsoring events if they fit into the company's values. We have a policy for our sales vehicles that they don't use them for personal use without permission. But when it comes to doing community type things and there's an understanding church related things, obviously they may take the vehicles there and use the tools there. And you have an opportunity to showcase your company and your skills and represent your company well. And people will notice that. And they will say, wow, I really like that young man and what he did here when he was helping dig the grave. I noticed a young man, just my aunt died, and I was at the gravesite, and they were shoveling it back in. And there was one young man, he didn't just stand there. He started pushing with the shovel and got the dirt closer for him because it was frozen. It was cold in Pennsylvania. And you're representing the company when you're out there working with your company truck, with your company tools, even at community events and things. You're still representing the company. Do a good job in all that. Employee advocacy and retention. You want better coworkers? It starts with you. It starts with your patience. It starts with how you relate to people. I had one businessman tell me they went through two people with one of their foremans, and the foreman finally said, look, I need to have a good employee. And they said, well, we gave you the best we have. You're going to have to train a good employee. If you're a good employee, you can help train a good employee. You can help someone become better and fill the role that needs filled. You can actively promote the company as a great place to work and attracting potential talent by sharing your positive experiences about the company's culture. It's part of the branding. Are you enthused about where you work? If your friends and people hear about that, it'll make it look like an attractive place to come and work as well. So many times what our friends hear about is all our gripes and complaints about where we work. Don't do that. Help keep the brand up and do your part to be who you should be so that people say, I really like him and I would love to work where he works. Strong employee advocacy attracts top talent and strengthens the company's image as an attractive employer. I have a friend who's a water technician. He can hardly have you for lunch without showing you something or telling you something about bad water. And it seems like I learn something almost every time I go to his house about how much better the tea is in this water versus this water. And he's excited about what he's doing, and he's willing to share that. Commitments made, commitments kept. Make sure that what you're putting forth as your foundation, as your warranty, make sure that is what is happening. I was quite a while ago, but I was in a store on sales work, and I heard some people chatting behind the counter, and I heard them saying, well, that's under warranty, isn't it? That company would warranty that, wouldn't they? And they said, yeah, it says it's under warranty, but save your breath. You won't get it. Sorry. And then they said what the name of the company was, and I was disappointed. It was an Anabaptist company. If you're not going to stand behind your warranty, don't put it on. Save your breath. Innovation and creativity. There's a picture of some young men there. We had the wonderful opportunity here last year of giving each of those men their 10-year award. They all started in 2015, and they're very engaging men. They have grown to be an integral part of the company. Some of them are in sales, some in service and installations, some are on the branding designs, and it was just a wonderful time. They all started working there together, and they all stayed together, and a company can really grow when you have that kind of teamwork, that kind of cohesion, that kind of flexibility. In fact, two of them were part of helping us get to the next level in our own branding. And a wise employee, I believe, employer, he will take in consideration the gifts that he has working for him too, and try and weave that into his company agendas and company goals, rather than just naysay or push down the talent that's there. Maybe it needs to be developed to have a better team than what you have. Maybe shift the company a little bit. Our company, I'm not an electrical-minded person whatsoever. I'm an artist. I'm an artistic person. But my son is very electrically inclined, and he breathes electric. So we got into electronic signage and electric signage, and it's been a real blessing because we had the talent there, and that was how he felt the most fulfilled. All right, community engagement. We have a policy, as I said, of sales vehicles, and we make exceptions for charity. All right, let's move on. Employee advocacy and retention. Seems like I'm not sure what... it's locked up, but... the internal branding champions, I want to want to close on that. My time is almost up here. Be selfless. Be selfless. It's a part of helping your brand. You are not here to protect your turf. And it is very disheartening to employers when employees try too hard to protect their turf, because somehow they feel if they protect their turf, next they're going to lose their job eventually. Somebody's going to replace them. Be flexible. Many companies want to be able to have two people doing the same thing. If one wants off, the other needs to be able to fill in. Be the type of employee that is not trying to protect your turf. You're working as a team. All you care about is that this company can get the work out, get it out well, get it out on time, and you're willing to do your part. You're willing to show others how to do it so that they can help get it done on time, and you're willing to blend in with others and help others to become the best version of themselves. All right, I cannot read the fine print here on my notes, but you have the concluding arguments there on the last slide. Read over that, take it to heart, and may the Lord bless you as you try and help your company to become the best possible company that it could ever be, because you work there. And because you have a great employer and you're not talking him down, you're trying to get into his vision, you're trying to help him grow the company in the way he'd like to see it grow, and the company will prosper if there's a team like that behind him. May the Lord bless you.